He had died on the cross for your sins, removed them from you, as far as east is from west, and you believed he was alive, didn't you? Would you have been baptized if you thought he was dead? I certainly wouldn't have been baptized if I thought Jesus was dead. Your baptism is a testimony to the world that you believe he's alive. Because who in the world would be baptized for a dead man? You know, this morning across this country, there are countless millions that are meeting in buildings who do not have the Spirit of God. It's tragic. Without the Spirit of God, it is impossible to understand the deeper things of God's Word. You simply cannot understand. There are a group of people, a very large and growing denomination, that teach with tremendous zeal that you need to be baptized for dead people. And that those people out there in those graves that did not receive Christ in their lifetime, that if you, as one of God's children, will submit to baptism for them, then God will also spare them because you were baptized for them. And they teach this heresy. It is ungodly. And they use a scripture in the Bible that they do not understand because they cannot understand it, because they themselves do not know the one who is alive and died for their sins on the cross. When I came across this scripture in Isaiah 53 and 10, and we've been preaching through Isaiah, the Son who became a servant to save us. Now we're getting down to close to the end of verse of chapter 53. I couldn't help but think about that. And this morning, about 7 o'clock, I put the message I had prepared aside because I just felt it wasn't what God wanted me to preach. So maybe there's someone here this morning, or maybe the whole church needs to hear this. I haven't preached in a long time. A lot of you all have been here for a long time. Some of you haven't been here very long. And if I don't go back and preach some of these things, how will they ever learn it? So I'm going to talk today about the Son who became a servant and was resurrected. Now, if he wasn't resurrected, everything I've preached, everything I've taught, my whole life has been a lie. And everything you believed was in vain. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now you can believe that his death was an offering for sin. And you can believe that and say, well, he put away my sins. But if you don't believe he's alive to act as intercessor continually before God, then you're just as lost as a man who doesn't even believe he ever existed. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, Christ put away all sin for the believer that would forever condemn him to hell. He took the believer out from under the condemnation of God. He shall see his seed. God looked down the channel of time, saw his seed hanging on the cross of Genesis 3:15, saw all the seeds he was going to produce. He was the seed of Genesis 3:15. He shall prolong his days. That E should be an S. He shall prolong his days. That means he was going to resurrect him from the dead. And he has prolonged his days forever and ever and ever. Were you baptized for a dead man? When you went into those baptismal waters, you went in believing he was alive. because you had had enough faith to ask him to save you. He had saved you. And in obedience, because you believed he was alive, you entered into those waters. Waters didn't save you, but the waters presented a picture to the whole world that you believed he was buried for your sins and resurrected up out of the water, justified by his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection. You went into those waters saved. The waters didn't save you. What saved you was your belief. Enough to call on a man you didn't believe was dead. You wouldn't pray to a dead man. And you asked that man you believed was alive to save you. He did. And then you entered the baptismal waters to picture what he had already done for you before you entered the water. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 22. Paul writing to the Corinthians, who were, of course, saved, and they all had scriptural baptism, and they were assembling together. Moreover, brethren, members of the church at Thessalonica, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news which I preached unto you, the gospel by which you were saved, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. And as many as received his word, that's what saved you, were baptized. That's what pictured what you believed. And there were added to them that day, I think, about 3,000 or 4,000 souls. And that's what the gospel does. It saves souls. Then the same Spirit that convicted them and saved them leads them to be obedient in baptism. It doesn't save them, but it is something that shows they really believe he's alive. You wouldn't be baptized for a dead man. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. You know you're saved, don't you? You know it because you understand that this man died on the cross for your sins. You believe he took your sins in his own body on the tree. You believe that he forever saved you from the condemnation of God that would have sent you to hell. And that's burned in your memory. Now, you may lose your mind in a nursing home and start cursing like a sailor. Your mind may go back to its carnal state. But as long as you're in your right mind, you have the awareness that you have been saved and that your belief was not in vain. That's because you have the Spirit indwelling you. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I had received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and was seen of Cephas and of the 12, of Peter and the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, of Paul, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. They preached that Christ had been crucified for their sins, that he had taken their sins in his own body on the tree, that he had removed them as far as east is from west from anyone who would call on his name, believing that he could remove them from under the condemnation of God for the sin that they inherited from birth. And then they had to have enough faith to pray and ask him to save them, because they prayed to someone they believed that was alive. They believed he was dead. They wouldn't have prayed to him at all. And they got saved. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Apparently, some in the church were teaching, yes, he died as the sacrifice for our sins. And if we will put our faith in him and his perfect life and his keeping the law of Moses, and if we will trust in him, his sacrifice, if we will trust in his sacrifice to save us, we'll be saved. But we don't believe in this resurrection of the dead, where you receive a new body and all that stuff. So there was a heresy in the church. And Paul was writing this to correct those who were trying to lead the others into error. Listen, if there isn't any resurrection from the dead, what in the Sam Hill are we doing here this morning? If Christ isn't resurrected from the dead, we're wasting our time and we're wasting God's time. We need to be out enjoying all we can in this life. And if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. Were you baptized for a dead man? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He said, if there isn't going to be a resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't risen from the dead. What are we waiting for, the resurrection? What's it all based on? That our Savior was resurrected from the dead. And that because he's alive, he can hear our prayer when we call on his name and save us. And he can indwell us and place us in him, and he is in God. And forever, God will receive us by his blood sacrifice, by his life, and he is our constant and continual intercessor in the office of the Son, before the office of the Father, us having been convicted by the office of the Holy Spirit, and in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also in vain. Listen, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, I'm down here, oh, you're paying me, I'm making a living and feeding my flesh, but my preaching is vain. And my faith is in vain. And your faith is in vain. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the absolute essential factor that allows us to be saved and to stay saved. So what were these fellows teaching? Well, if they didn't have an intercessor, then they would be able to add the law back onto his sacrifice and require them to accept the sacrifice, but also to add the law onto it to make sure they were justified before God. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is in vain. His whole point is, yes, the sacrifice of Christ put away your sin. Yes, he put it away in his own body. Yes, God will accept his blood sacrifice and his offering, this man's offering for your sins. But they didn't believe Christ had been resurrected from the dead. And if there isn't a resurrected Christ sitting up there, we're in serious trouble. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If that isn't true, if Christ isn't alive, if there isn't a resurrection, then my mother is either out of existence completely with no recollection of anything, past, present, or future, or she's in hell. And if it isn't true that he was resurrected from the dead, all those loved ones that you cared so much for and you're looking forward to seeing in heaven, they're either gone completely out of existence with no recollection of thought of anything, they're gone forever, past, present, and future, or they're in hell. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. These people were saying there's no resurrection of the dead. But if you'll accept the blood sacrifice of Christ for your sins, you believe that God put away your sins in him, and now if you'll keep the law and do what God tells you to do and commands you to do, God will bless you with great prosperity in this life, pretty much like they're teaching on television. Just send us a prayer request with an offering. We'll put it in a huge pile at the front. We'll all pray over it, and then God will make you prosperous in this life. And then they say, God didn't mean for his people to be poor. God didn't mean for his people to suffer. And they'll give you all this baloney. And that's all it is, pure baloney. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. How many rich apostles were there? But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He was the first fruits. And we are the fruits of his labor. And we will be resurrected as following the first fruits at the first resurrection. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The most important thing in studying the Word of God is to understand that it is spirit and it is truth. It is life. What you see on the screen is spirit. Jesus said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So why can't this great religious organization, which you all know by name, why is it they can't understand this simple scripture? And the answer is, they cannot understand the Word of God because the Spirit of God and the Word are completely and perfectly compatible because the Spirit gave the Word. If you don't interpret God's Word in context, if you don't take in the setting of the context, you will never, never understand the scripture. Never. There was once a preacher said, you know, the Bible sure does shed a lot of light on those commentaries. You must interpret in context. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about the fact that because Christ has been resurrected from the dead, because he's in heaven, because he's our constant intercessor, that we have to have believed and believe that he is resurrected from the dead. Because number one, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you going to put your faith in a dead man? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name's Jesus. So how in the Sam Hill are we going to be saved if we ask a dead man? I'll tell you how much faith it takes to be saved. To realize your sins need to be put away and you can't put them away. And to cry out to Jesus and ask Jesus to save your soul. But he's got to be alive to do it. And you wouldn't have asked him to save you if you thought he was dead. It takes less than a grain of mustard seed to be saved. Were you baptized for a dead Christ? Did God really prolong his days? That's what Isaiah said more than 700 years before it happened. If God did not prolong his days, then why did you submit to baptism for a man that never rose from the dead? In the Mormon faith, and I mentioned it, I didn't mean to. They believe that I, as a Mormon, I could go out and look up my register, my family, and say, well, there's old Absalom McElmurray, who never believed, never professed, never was a Mormon. And if I go in the Mormon church and be baptized for him, God will save me. And some Mormons go to graveyards looking on tombstones and get people's names off the tombstones and are baptized for them. You say, I never heard of such a thing. The reason you never heard of such a thing is because you are spiritually saved by Christ, and to you it's ridiculous. But to those who don't have the Spirit of Christ and don't know him, no matter how outwardly religious they may seem, it makes a lot of sense. Well, what scripture do they use? 1 Corinthians 15:29. Now notice, I covered 1 Corinthians 15 all the way down to 15:22. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:29. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? They say, see, you're supposed to be baptized for the dead. You've got to take this in context. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? For a dead man. The whole subject is about Christ and him being dead or alive. Baptized for a dead man. He said, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? He said, if you've been baptized for Christ and you believe he's dead, if the dead rise not at all, he said, if he didn't rise, the rest of them won't rise. He said, why are they then baptized for the dead? These people that were teaching this were telling people, yes, you need to be saved. And baptism is a part of salvation, they said. You need to be baptized. You need to be saved. You need to be baptized to be saved. And then after you've done that, if you live for the Lord and keep the law of Moses, then you'll be blessed with great prosperity in this life. Well, certain religious facets since then have added a lot of embellishments to them and have them living on planets all over the universe and all kind of weird stuff. And they believe that because they don't have the Spirit. Why are they been baptized for the dead? Here's this whole point. Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected from the dead. He said, were you baptized for a dead man? He said, these people that are getting baptized that are teaching you that there's no resurrection, he said, they're teaching you Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead. He said, why were they baptized for a man they believe is dead? Why were they obedient to a man they believe is dead? Why was I baptized? In obedience? Why? Because I believe Jesus was alive and I wanted to do what he said. Why am I here preaching now? Because I believe he's alive and I want to do what he says. You say, well, what is that? That's faith. And faith is faith in a living God, a living Son, a living Holy Spirit. And Jesus has to be alive, or all this is in vain. And if God did not prolong his day, you're still in your sins. And you're in jeopardy of going to hell if you die at any moment. If Jesus isn't alive, Bob, you're in danger of going to hell. Because if you don't keep the law of Moses, this is what these people were teaching. If you don't keep the law of Moses, now that you've been baptized, now you're here among us, then if Jesus isn't alive, you're in jeopardy of going to hell if you die. Right now, you're in danger. Every day of your life, Bob, you're in danger of going to hell if he's not alive. Now look at 15:30-32. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? He said, goodness gracious, if Christ hadn't been resurrected from the dead, he said, we're standing in jeopardy. He asked this as a rhetorical question. He said, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? He said, if Jesus is dead, he said, we stand in jeopardy every hour of going to hell. Then he said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. What does that mean? Paul said, same one who wrote this, Galatians 2:20-21. You see why I quote all these scriptures so much? I am crucified with Christ. That's what he said. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ can't live in him if he's dead. Christ has to be alive to live in Paul. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if the law gives righteousness, then Christ is dead in vain. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead raise not? If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? He said, all this suffering I've gone through, all this agony I've gone through, we're continuing in 1 Corinthians 15:30-32. He said, all these things, putting an arena to fight with beasts, being persecuted by the Jews, being beaten with stripes many times, arrested, thrown in jail, and eventually had his head cut off. He said, if Jesus isn't alive, he said, what good is this to me? If the dead raise not. He said, if that's true, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And it's the end of everything. But that isn't true at all, and that's the point Paul's making. He said, you weren't baptized for a dead man. You're baptized for a man that's alive in heaven. And he's continually intercessing for you, and he's the one that's going to be responsible for your resurrection from the dead, just like he was. If you don't believe he's resurrected from the dead, what's the use in all this? John 11:26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Ken, do you know why you're never going to die? Because he's alive. And that's the only reason that you're never going to die, if your faith is in him. Now, if he went all through all that for you, then serving him ought to mean something to you. As a matter of fact, the scriptures indicate it ought to be the most important thing in your life. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever realized that your sinful condition that you were born with, we're not sinners because we sin, we sin because we are sinners. Have you ever really trusted Christ to have put away your sins on the cross? And do you believe that he's alive right now after having realized he died for you? Do you believe he's alive right now to save you and continually intercede forever? If you do, you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You believe he's alive. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Have you ever called on him? Have you ever asked him, believing he's alive, to forgive you of your sins and to save you? We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. And right where you're sitting, during this silent moment of prayer, if you believe he's alive and died for your sins on the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He'll save you right where you're sitting if you ask him to save you and know you're praying to someone who's alive, who loves you, and will keep his word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending him.